knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean, Bill.
You know, if there's one constant in the universe, Wendy, it is that he is Dean, and he will be Dean. He's always been Dean, and he's going to be Dean forever, I hope.
And
hi,
I
Dean.
Will tell you which ones will make you cry.
I know. That's the best part of you.
I haven't had any movies to make you cry lately.
Why is that? Why the lack of cryable movies?
I'm not sure.
Do you like crying during a movie? I enjoy it.
I enjoy a good cry.
Yep.
It cleanses your soul.
Yeah. Yep. It's a little embarrassing when you're in a small screening room with a bunch of critics.
That would be, yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but this is, you know, back in the day, and Roger Ebert is sitting right behind me, and Gene Siskel had passed away already, but, you know, it's like every heavy hitter movie critic is in this room. And, here comes, hi, guys, I'm Dean, like the new guy. And some movie comes out, and I'm like, oh, my God, don't make me start crying in front of Roger Ebert.
Oh, no.
Don't make me, but, you know.
Don't they cry, though?
I would hope.
You're supposed to get an emotional response out of a movie.
Yeah, I think they're too tough. They're too tough.
Too tough
I do.
To cry.
They're crying on the inside.
I think they're crying on the inside.
Dean, do you remember?
You know what? With Roger Ebert, he was too busy eating sandwiches.
Enjoyed a snack during
again,
the movie.
I'll say this really quickly. When they re-released Star Wars to the theater for the first time, my husband and I went, and right on the end next to us as the movie's starting, someone walks in late, and it's Roger Ebert sitting right next to us with his rice cakes and his bottled water.
Oh, yeah.
You're lucky if that's all it was.
Well, he fell asleep, and then some big explosion woke him up, and he walked away, came back with popcorn and a soda.
Was this in a movie theater or
yes,
in a little screening room?
This was like a special screening when Star Wars came. It wasn't a screening room. It was the AMC theaters, I think.
Because there's a small screening room that we see a lot of the movies in. Not all of them. Sometimes we see them with full audiences. Sometimes I saw Magnificent Seven that's coming out in a couple of weeks, the new one. I saw that. I was the only one there.
It
was,
oh, wow.
You know, so sometimes you never know. But I used to tease Roger because there used to be a sub sandwich place right in the lobby of this building where we saw the movies. And, you know, a lot of times you see 2-3 movies a day. So you got to, you know, grab some lunch somewhere in between. And Roger would get, I don't know what kind of sandwich it was, but I guarantee you there were onions on it every day. And I finally said, do you eat anything that doesn't have onions on it? Oh, can you smell it? It's like they can smell it down on Wacker Drive.
What do you remember, Dean, if there was a scene in a movie that made you cry more than any other scene ever? Do you remember? Because I know mine.
The one that, I don't know if it's the most, but the one that comes to my mind instantly is the scene in Terms of Endearment where Deborah Winger is saying goodbye to her two little boys.
That was heartbreaking.
I could start crying right now even talking about it. It was so sad.
Did you ever see a movie called In America?
I did.
Okay. I will not give this away, but there is a child in the movie who says something to the dad in the movie, and it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
And I couldn't. Not only was I crying, I couldn't breathe.
Were you just like sobbing? Like
when the movie was over, I had to put my head down because I saw it with Terry, and she said, "You can't walk out of the theater looking this way." I was so...
His mascara was running.
I always wear kiss makeup to any movie I see.
Disguise, you know.
I like to dress like...
Is that Ace Frehley?
Yeah, why is Ace Frehley so sad during this movie? But, I mean, really, I was so caught up in the movie, and then this line happens. This kid says something to the dad, and it destroyed me.
That's such a good movie.
It is.
That is.
What's it called?
In America.
It's
really
good. Any stars in it?
Stephen Rea, right?
Doesn't ring a bell.
And I'm trying to think of who else would be in it.
Is it a foreign film?
No.
It
might have been an English film. I can't remember now. But
I think they came over from Ireland, I think. Didn't they? I want to say
it was a family that came over from Ireland.
Yeah.
And, like, they moved into...
A family of Irish immigrants adjust to life on the mean streets of Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, in New York. They live in a crummy area. Jimon Hansu.
That
really was like his first
breakout role.
Big movie. But Samantha Morton was in the movie. Patty Considine.
It's a good cast.
Was in the movie. It's a really, really good movie.
And two real life sisters, I believe, played the little girls in the movie. And they're both good, but boy, this one kid just says something. And you have to know the context of what was going on in the movie to understand this, but it just, it took my breath away. I was so sad.
Right.
And yeah, yeah.
Most of my tears of watching movies really were generated from Roger's onions.
And sometimes,
now that I think of it,
sometimes Roger, because I would sit in on some of those screenings, and he'd have fondue going, and you shouldn't do that in a movie theater.
That's not right.
Dangerous.
No. That's not right. That hot oil, you know, can just get everywhere.
It's very dangerous.
People are walking in the aisles in the dark. It could be.
Dean, I can't bring this up every day, but this week has been a rough week with the loss of Gene Wilder.
Oh.
And I just want to bring you in on one aspect of this. Wendy and I were discussing him and his career and everything, and I said a lot of times with actors, as a new generation comes along, you find a new Cary Grant or you find a new Jack Lemmon or a John Wayne or somebody, but I can't think of anybody that picks up the mantle of Gene Wilder. Can you?
No. And, you know, really, his, you know, the bulk of his movie making stopped, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
He'd done his last on camera roles actually were a couple of recurring appearances that he made on Will and Grace. But that was it. He hasn't done a lot in a long time, and I cannot think of anybody who, you know, took that comedic mantle, like he did. Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. I don't know. Robin Williams? Was Robin Williams?
There's a like slight that, element. Sort of that, Wendy brought up Andy Kaufman, who, yeah, of course, is also gone. But there's some.
But they reminded me with a gentle soul and just kind of out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not. Here's the part that I think sets Gene Wilder apart. And while he was very funny and had, you know, some great lines, many of which he wrote himself, not just words that somebody else wrote for him. But, you know, often you could be watching Gene Wilder in a scene, and he would do nothing more than gaze his eyes from left to right that became so meaningful and so expressive or so hilarious. I can't think of too many actors who could do so much with so little, with so
right.
few words, so few physical, movement. That's the mark, I think, of somebody who's remarkable, like Gene Wilder was remarkable. Take a look at some of those roles. Take a look at, you know, his Willy Wonka. Many of the scenes are nothing more than him, you know, looking from here to there.
Yeah.
Just a look over that adds so much context. And especially if you haven't seen Willy Wonka since you're a kid, I beg you to rent this movie and to watch it as an adult. You will see this movie in a completely different way, seeing it as an adult. I hadn't seen it in a long, long, long time, and then watched it as an adult, and I felt like I was watching a new movie, that I got so much more out of everything that was happening. It wasn't just, you know, silly and whimsical anymore. It was really powerful and really very meaningful to me. So I think that's the power of Gene Wilder. Even in movies, you know, that are complete farces, like Young Frankenstein.
That is so funny.
I was writing his obits the other morning, and it's supposed to be sad. The man died, and I'm writing his obits, and I'm not supposed to be sitting at my desk laughing hysterically while I'm writing somebody's obituary, mm-hmm. but that's what I was doing, watching these clips of Young Frankenstein.
Yeah,
really funny.
When it came up the other day, I said you'd be hard-pressed to find something that's a better satire or parody of anything. It was so direct and perfect. And we said about how they took a lot of the old sets from the Universal Frankenstein movies, and that's what you're seeing on the screen.
That's what was so
attention
great.
Attention to detail, and yeah, it's just perfect.
It was so great. I had always heard that Fred Astaire was supposed to be up for the role of Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
I had never heard that Peter Sellers was supposed mm-hmm. to be up for the role of Willy Wonka, which
that's interesting.
Would have been amazing. That the guys from Monty Python all wanted to be Willy Wonka. Any one of those would have been great. Although I think Fred Astaire might have been a little old for it at that time. Certainly, you know, could have done the dance moves, but. I seriously can't even imagine anybody else than Gene Wilder. I didn't mind Johnny Depp in the remake of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but not anywhere the depth that Gene Wilder gave us in that movie.
Yeah,
totally
how about that?
Different.
Yep. Dean is our guest, and we're discussing movies. If you want to jump in, you can at 312-981-7200.
A guest
in our home. Would you like a limeade?
I should take my feet off the table.
Yeah, you should. What's
no,
with that?
No, go ahead. It's our home.
More in a moment. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We are talking to Gene, the dancing machine. Dean Richards.
One of my many nicknames in grade school. Deanie with the light brown hair was the most popular.
It says that in your yearbook. I've seen your yearbook.
It probably does.
Dean, before we get to this week's movie or movies, is this true or not true? I keep seeing opposing stories on this on the internet. There will or will not be more Harry Potter movies. Do you know?
They have not announced anything officially. The reason why it's a little ambiguous right now is because they're talking about it. Some of the stars have said, like Daniel Radcliffe, have said if something like that happens, he would be interested in participating in it. But they have not announced that there is going to be anything. That Warner Brothers has not made any official announcements. So.
I know it's a lot of money for everybody involved, especially the studio. Now, Radcliffe said a little while ago, unless he's updated this, that if he ever revisited the role, if he ever wanted to play Harry Potter again, he'd want to do it much later in life, like as an adult reflecting back on the childhood Harry Potter. But they want to get these new movies, I guess, done pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm sure the Warner Brothers would like to do them. I mean, they were tremendously profitable for them. But there's nothing official on any of that right at the moment.
Have you been to the Universal Studios in Orlando?
I have not to see the new stuff. I haven't been there in quite a long time.
They're Harry Potter. They have two different theme parked parts of Harry Potter's world, and it's phenomenal.
Oh, you've been?
Yeah.
I have not seen one Harry Potter movie ever.
Oh, you haven't?
What?
I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Communist.
Julie Andrews. Communist.
Jeez.
I'm going to build a wall around you.
There's ahead. A McCarthy on the line. He wants to talk to you. Wendy,
wait,
he wants to talk to you right now. What about this movie, The Hollers? What do we know about this movie?
I know that I love it.
Yeah?
That's what I know. And I know that it's the directorial debut of John Krasinski, mm-hmm. who we know, and I think most people loved, as Jim on The Office.
He was awesome.
It's like super nice guy as well. Couldn't be a nicer guy. And took a shot at directing a film. It's a quirky little family dramedy, I guess I would call it, because it's parts of it are quite serious. It's a story about a family in Ohio that the mother, who is played by the great Margot Martindale, develops a brain tumor and has to have a brain tumor taken out. The father is the great Richard Jenkins. Just these two all by themselves, to me, make this movie. If there was nothing else except scenes with Margot Martindale and Richard Jenkins, this movie would be absolutely superb. But you add in the dynamics of John Krasinski and his brother in the movie, and it's a very dysfunctional kind of family, working out lots of different problems at this time when the mother is about to have a brain tumor. And, you know, if anyone's ever gone through these kinds of family traumas, I mean, often these kinds of, you know, family quirks and dysfunctions and things that you never say anything about in these moments of anxiety, these are the things that, you know, begin to come out when, you know, tension's that high. And that's kind of what happens. I mean, this family is facing all of their flaws. But at the same time, the story is written pretty brilliantly at the same time where it's not uncomfortable to watch. It's actually at times they have written in plenty of comedic comfort in this film that in all of the dysfunction in this family, you get some laughs and you get some relief. And, you know, I for one can certainly say that I saw lots of things from my own family.
Oh, good.
And, you know, this kind of storyline. It's really well acted. I think Krasinski did a really nice, discretion-filled job of directing this film. I think he very wisely realized that he had a terrific ensemble and got out of their way. Didn't try to show that he's the hotshot director here. And when you've got amazing actors like he does in his movie, Alison Seeger is in the film and is one of the actors in the film. They get out of the way and let the performers do their jobs. Anna Kendrick is in the film, and Randall Park and Charlto Copley. Do you know who that is?
No, who is that?
He's a South African actor. You've seen him in other films, probably most notably in was it called District 9? Yeah, District 9.
Oh yeah,
9.
Sure.
District 9. Yeah, he was in District 9. He was in the remake of The A-Team. He's been in a lot of films, and you'll certainly recognize him. But he's great. He's the one of the dysfunctional brothers in this movie as well. I can't recommend this enough. I think it's a really sweet and thoughtful and at times really funny movie. Charlie Day is in this movie.
I forgot to mention Charlie Day.
Yeah, always. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
And Josh Groban.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. How did I forget that?
And yeah. Bill will want to see it because Mary Kay Place is in it.
I do enjoy her. Mary Kay Place.
Small role, but a good one. But Charlie Day plays a hospital attendant who is hilarious in the movie. Josh Groban is a minister, is a pastor. I'm watching the movie, and I'm going, wait a minute, I recognize that guy. Who is that guy? And it took me a couple of minutes to realize, oh, my gosh, that's Josh Groban.
He's actually a pretty good actor. He's done a couple things, and I've liked him.
I hate to admit I like him.
Yeah, he's very likable.
He is extremely likable in this movie. It's just really one great performance after another. There are a couple of smaller films, a couple of sci-fi movies that are opening this weekend that they didn't screen. So if you're looking for something brand new, you cannot go wrong with this movie. It's a really good one.
Dean's List on it?
Oh, Dean's List B+.
Oh, good.
The Hollars, Hollars.
That's their last name.
Yep. Excellent.
That's their last
Perfect.
Name.
I want to see that.
Dean, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
I'll be crying at you later.
All right. That's this very sad Dean Richards. We'll take a quick break and find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.